Dan Nakasa with the Honolulu Advertiser, and we're here at the grounds of Iolani Palace talking to Christine Ng, president of Engage Inc. Good afternoon, Christine.
Good afternoon, Ben.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to start with some basic questions. Christine Ng, I-N-G.
Right.
And, coincidentally, the name of your company is Engage Inc.
Coincidentally.
How'd you come up with that name?
Believe it or not, my last name was not part of the whole development of the company's name. I hired a company to help me develop the name of the company, and at the time, my last name was not Ng.
Oh, really?
Yep.
So, but Engage suggests...
Take on Engage, right.
Suggests, what is the idea behind the company?
It's basically to stay engaged. We encourage both our mentors to stay engaged with the community, with the young business professionals, and encourage the proteges to do the same. That's how the mentoring relationship evolves.
Okay, well, we're going to ask some biographical questions, and then we'll, in between, talk about the, as the pigeons make big body over here, talk about your company at the same time, and what you're hoping to do with it.
Great.
How old are you?
I am 37.
37? You look like a child. You just had a baby, right?
I did. He's 9 months old.
What's his name?
His name is Zachary.
That's neat. And your president is your title?
Yes.
Engage Inc.
Right.
And where were you born?
Here, in Honolulu.
Whereabouts?
Kapi'olani Medical Center.
Uh-huh.
And then I was raised in Nu'uanu, where my parents still live. Born and raised in Nu'uanu.
Uh-huh. And where'd you go high school?
Punahou.
What class?
1986.
College?
I graduated from Occidental College in Los Angeles.
Occidental?
Yeah.
What year was that?
1991.
did you get a degree?
BS in biology.
Really? What were we going to do with that?
At the time, I was going pre-med, actually, and went through the whole medical school process and ended up changing directions completely.
What were you going to do in medicine? What did you?
Gerontology. I wanted to be a geriatrician. While I was in college, realized that I enjoyed working with older adults,
mm-hmm.
and so wanted to focus on geriatrics.
Is that some, did you have some family experience with that? Grandparents?
No, just a calling.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Good for you. Can you say what happened to med school?
Went through the whole process and actually didn't get in and didn't want to try again.
Okay. breakthrough job, and this could be anything that you, people have said, you know, working in the cannery, working in the plantation at age 15, or mowing lawns, or something where you learn something about leadership, about organization, about work ethic, right way to do things, the wrong way to do things, a bad boss, a good boss.
I think the strongest experience that I've had and still impacts me today is my time that I spent at HMSA. I was there for 6 years. It was my first job when I had moved back from the mainland after finishing school. And it's a large organization, 1,500 plus employees. I learned just so much about large organizations, bureaucratic organizations,
uh-huh.
what works, what doesn't. I had an opportunity to obviously work in many different departments, work under different people. It's just an incredibly growing experience.
What were your first job?
I was a health educator at HealthPass.
Educator at HealthPass?
Right. Subsidiary of HMSA, actually. And
HealthPass, just like it sounds?
Uh-huh.
Two words?
One word.
What is that?
It focuses on health and wellness, health prevention. They come in and they do your blood pressure and glucose analysis, cholesterol. They focus on diet and nutrition, educating their members about staying healthy.
Were you working mostly with older people?
I worked with a variety, actually, young and old,
uh-huh.
all of their members.
What other kind of positions did you have at HMSA?
I was a senior market planner. I moved into the senior field. After doing my graduate work in gerontology, they actually kind of tapped into that knowledge base and experience that I had and asked me to focus on the senior market in
mm-hmm.
researching what the needs were for their membership, which was over 100,000 members they had in the 55 and older population.
Really?
Quite a large number, a large population, and they wanted to look at both health education opportunities as well as retention of their members. So I developed a strategic market plan for them, and also continued on in that capacity doing developing programs for them. A program called Off My Living was a program that I developed many years back.
And so you touched on it's a large organization. What kind of things did you learn that, in terms of managerial, but more importantly, kind of leadership, whether it's communication or leading by example? What kind of things did kind of got seared in your?
I try to get involved in the organization and learn as much as I can. So I would volunteer or get assigned to different committees and groups. And we had an opportunity to work with individuals from different departments and work under different leaders. And so I think that experience taught me what a good leader was and what a good leader was not, how to manage teams and facilitate programs.
Like what would consider good characteristics, some of the good ones, and characteristics of some of the poor ones?
Communication, first and foremost, I think. Effective communication. If you're leading a committee, it's keeping the committee involved, getting input from all of the team members, asking them to take some responsibility in being a part of the committee or part of the team. That was, to me, a good leader. A not-so-good leader was obviously something that was opposite that. Didn't keep us involved, didn't achieve our goals, allowed the
people didn't know what the goals were.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What other jobs have you had? So you came back from the mainland.
Right.
Then you...
I really only worked two companies, actually. HMSA was my first job, which I was there for 6 years. And then I directly moved to Hawaii Family Dental Centers, which is a dental group practice, the largest dental group practice in the state.
Doing what?
Basically management and oversight of the organization as a whole, some business development, some marketing, training, customer service, variety of things.
And what were some of the, what was the impetus for you to start off on your own?
To move. At the time, that was actually a family business. And they were having some employee issues, trust, and loyalty.
Engage was?
No.
Oh.
Hawaii Family, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Hawaii Family Dental Centers.
Okay. But I mean, of leaving, or sort of branching out on your own, not so much what was going on, but I guess what I'm trying to say is, what were some of the issues for you to decide to start something new? And I know you moved from Honolulu to Kauai for personal family reasons, but it must have been pretty...
This is a good question.
Pretty gutsy, huh?
I think the whole thing was gutsy, and I don't think I would have done it had I... I needed a catalyst, and I had a catalyst. My catalyst for me was going through a divorce.
Oh.
And that's what happened. It was the kick in the pants that I needed to say, it's time, take the chance, take the risk. You have nothing to lose.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah, and I
might
did
as
actually
well, huh?
took some time off and actually did some reflection and soul searching and decided what was important to me and what I wanted to do.
And how did you come across this concept?
This concept starts back from my passion for working with older adults. First and foremost, I started this business because I really wanted to continue working with older adults. When I had worked on the mainland, I worked in nursing homes and senior centers and day healthcare centers and had the opportunity to sit one-on-one with older adults at very near the end of their life where they needed a lot of help, physical help. But I realized that they had so much to offer. I'd sit and listen to their stories and learn so much from them. So what I wanted to do, when I became a health educator here in Hawaii at HMSA, we really focused on their nutrition and we focused on their physical activities. Little was being done to focus on their mental and their social and their emotional aspects. Mm-hmm. Yet, when you look at the overall person, that's very important to maintaining the quality of life,
right,
maintaining the health and wellness of an individual. So I wanted to, first and foremost, touch older adults or as people are aging earlier in their lives while they still are very independent and have the capability I wanted to get them involved, just to keep them socially active, mentally active, emotionally active. That was important to me when I was thinking about this business. The second...
So just in general, you wanted to keep the mind stimulated somehow?
Yes, right.
Okay.
I had an opportunity to participate in the Pacific Century Fellows Program in 2003. That's the program that Mukhi Hanuman started about 8 years ago. We had an opportunity to meet with a lot of leaders, about 100 leaders throughout our 9-month program. And in that program, as we sat one-on-one and these leaders shared their stories with us, time and time again, I heard that a mentor had helped them. They shared with us and said a mentor had helped them to get to where they are today. That mentor opened their eyes to, you know, helping out the community and doing something that you're, finding something that you're passionate about and helping them to make decisions when those challenging, you know, decisions actually came about. And as I was sitting there, I realized, gosh, you know, who's my mentor? Who really impacts me in that way? And there were so many times when I had actually wanted somebody to help me and I just didn't know where to turn. So I took those ideas. I wanted to do something that I was passionate about, brought my the seniors in, the older adults in from the mentor side, brought the young business professionals, because that was, I felt like I was a young business professional. I wanted to make a difference, an impact in people's lives, and I wanted to make a difference in Hawaii.
Right.
How can I do that? How can I help other people to do it? Because there's so much talent in Hawaii. How do we keep them here in the state of Hawaii giving back? And that's kind of how I came up with the mentoring concept.
And the, well, can you just give us a brief summary of what it all entails? It's virtual, it's all online.
Okay, brief concept is basically, I think everybody's familiar with informal mentoring. We all may have had a mentor in our lifetime. What Engage has done is we've created a formal mentoring program, but we've made it web-based, or an online formal mentoring program. What we do is we basically offer mentors to proteges or young business professionals. And I modeled it after kind of like an online dating site where we bring our mentors online. It's not as tacky as that, but it has the
turn
same
on,
sentiment.
Turn off.
All kinds of pictures of them. No, it's we try to do it very professionally. But as a protege or who's looking for, as a young business professional looking for a mentor, you can go onto our site. We have all of our proteges.
What is the URL?
Which is www.engagementors.com, I-N-G-A-G-E-M-E-N-T-O-R-S, engagementors.com. And we list our proteges by the topic that they're going to be mentoring on.
Such as?
Could be anything from leadership development, strategic planning, sales and marketing, technology, implementing new technology in their company, organizational culture, basic business concepts.
And they are generally retirees?
Our initial market, our initial target when I was designing this business was target the retired business professionals because they have time, they have availability, they're retired, they have the knowledge and experience that we're looking for. Since we've been live for our site, we've actually gotten retirees, we've gotten people who are still working, who just really want to give back. This is something that they're passionate about and don't mind doing both at the same time. And then we also have touched upon consultants who kind of already do something like this for a living.
But they're, when they when the mentors are involved in Engage, they are employees. They're not independent contractors. They're not consultants.
Right. We hire them as employees. And the reason why I structured it as employees versus independent contractors is because we've created a standardized system that they have to follow as our mentors. And it's not, we're not telling them this is the kind of information you have to tell your proteges because we believe that they're the experts in
their field.
Own field. Right.
Yep.
We are telling them, though, that they have to follow a certain process of mentoring. And that means identifying goals. How do you identify goals? What kind of documents do you use to track the goals, track your schedule? It's basically a mentoring process. And the reason why we standardized it is because we want to be able to show the return of an investment. And so, and we also wanted to make sure that every protege that goes through our system has a very similar experience. You know what to expect. If you want another mentor later on your life, you know exactly what to expect.
You don't have to,
Right, so we standardize it.
And how many mentors do you have?
We currently have 18 mentors online right now.
In how many different fields?
Oh my gosh. Our mentors actually mentor on more than one topic and more than one field.
Like leadership and sales and marketing.
Sure, right. What they feel that they're strongest in. It could be, I don't know, 25, 30 fields maybe.
And all from Hawaii, some on the mainland?
Yeah, we have Hawaii and also mainland mentors. We did our, it seems as if the mainland mentors really have picked, mainland executives have picked up on the concept a little easier and quicker than the local people.
And how are you getting the word out to protégés that this is available? And
We're relatively new as a company. We launched the site back in April, and we actually haven't had our grand opening yet. But when we do have our grand opening, we're going to be doing some public relations. We're doing some radio ads. We're doing direct mail pieces. Creating postcards and sending them directly to the protégés or our target market who we think are our protégés.
Is there a particular age group? Is there a particular kind of years in your profession that you're targeting?
Not age, not you know, male or female or anything like that. We are looking at higher level young business professionals, at least managers and above.
Like middle manager kind of?
Right, middle managers, senior level. Right,
yeah.
First time supervisor, perfect, exactly. Individuals who have taken on new positions or new jobs and are just looking for somebody with that experience to give them insight.
And how is it structured in terms of what their obligation will be, both in pay and how much work they have to do and what their commitment is to the mentor and that sort of thing?
Our protégés, who are our customers, we actually sell four different programs for one-on-one mentoring. We offer more than just one-on-one mentoring, but for one-on-one mentoring, we offer four different programs, a one-month, 3-month, 6-month, and 12-month program. And the 1-month program, it includes 8 hours of mentoring. A 3-month program includes 8 hours of mentoring a month. 6-month program is 6 hours of mentoring per month, and a 12-month is 6 hours of mentoring per month. So 12 months is a total of 72 hours of mentoring, one-on-one mentoring. Then we also offer what we call virtual group mentoring, which is really teleseminars and webinars facilitated by one of our mentors. Very interactive. We keep our virtual group mentoring sessions to a maximum of 8 people, which allows them to share their own personal experiences and kind of network with other protégés who are in similar experiences. Mm-hmm. We offer speakers, like a speakers bureau, and those are our mentors who are willing to go out to organizations and provide speaking engagements.
What kind of costs are those for those four programs?
The four programs, the costs range from $1,400 for a 1-month program with 8 hours of mentoring up to a little over $12,000 for a 12-month program.
And you're having some interest from companies and corporations to basically subsidize the managers?
Yes, we actually, because of the cost, obviously there's people who, most people can't afford that on their own. So we do approach organizations and ask that they look at mentoring as a professional development resource, as an alternative to seminars and workshops and conferences. We feel that mentoring is actually can provide more value than seminars and workshops and conferences.
And so the interaction between the protégé and the mentor, is it basically emails, or is the protégé doing homework, kind of, you know, goal setting and work problems, or all of the above?
When we hire a mentor, we actually train them to provide the Engage mentoring program. And the first task of the mentor is to work with their protégé and come up with what we call a protégé development plan. And in that protégé development plan, they identify their goals, agenda items, what they're planning to accomplish for that meeting, and they start to track, literally meeting by meeting, what they've accomplished and what their tasks are before the next meeting. In addition, we provide, on our site,
every little interaction is set with, just like you would any kind of staff meeting, or there's an agenda, there's a goal, come out, you summarize what was done.
Exactly.
Rather than these meetings where people sit around not knowing what they're talking about.
Which actually happens in informal mentoring programs. Right? Informal mentoring, you go and have coffee, you have lunch with your mentor.
Yeah.
And it's...
I'm stuck in my career, I need help.
Yeah. Right. And the nice thing about our site is because it keeps track of everything, if you come back a week later, you pick up from where you left off. It's all there on our website.
Uh-huh.
And so you're not wasting time.
Right. So is there any one-on-one actual personal contact?
Right. Sorry, going back to your question. Our mentoring program, actually, you have the option of doing one-on-one telephone or email mentoring at this point in time, and we leave that up to the mentor and the protege to determine what's most effective and what they need at the time. For local mentors, when I actually designed this business, I conducted focus groups. I hired a company to help us with focus groups to see if this concept was going to be effective and accepted in the community. And what we heard from the local people is that they wanted that face-to-face.
Yeah.
That was very important.
Mm-hmm.
So we understand that, and we absolutely, it can be all face-to-face mentoring, it could be all telephone mentoring, it could be all email mentoring. In Hawaii, I don't think that's going to be effective, email mentoring, but certainly if you're in Hawaii, we ask that you at least meet with your mentor first time and then occasionally throughout face-to-face.
Now,
but it depends on the topic.
Right. And when you said it's like online dating, do people look at a name and say, oh, that's my cousin's friend who went to school back when, and, you know, I want to go with Uncle Jimmy? Or do they type in their goals and your system pops up two or three possible candidates?
Right.
Matches?
Actually, it's the latter. I'm going to have both. It's going to be on there in the site. It's not on there right now. It's going to be there in about a week. But you're going to be able to sort by protege, by mentor's name,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to be able to sort by topic.
Okay. But there'll be like bios of each person?
Yes. So we call that the mentor profile. That's how you can evaluate whether or not this mentor has the skills and experience and knowledge that you're looking for before you actually purchase the program.
So a lot of people are going to know who the mentors are and be able to Google them or know somebody that knows them.
Exactly.
And after the 1 month, I'm sorry, 1 month?
3, 6, and 12.
3, 6, and 12.
Right.
After that, what is the relationship? Does it just end and never to be have any contact again, or?
We don't put that restriction on our mentors as our employees. We do say they're only compensated for that specific time period. If they have really established a good relationship with their protege and they want to continue on an informal basis, we don't restrict them at all, but they won't be compensated for the program.
Right.
Our program has set time frames, and I think that's the nice thing, or that's what attracts many mentors to becoming mentors,
right.
is that there's a beginning
it's
and
not an open-ended.
Not open-ended, right. They know they can walk away, and they can go travel, and they can go golf, and they can do everything else they wanted to do in their retirement.
A little-known fact about you, and this is, we try to find something that even some of your friends would go, really, that's interesting. Didn't know that.
Can you give me an example of some of your other people that you've met?
Sure. We had a woman from the Historic Society who has soil in Utah named after her. We had a kind of a self-described type A personality who keeps koi fish. And he said that shocks his friends because that's his thing that he does. We had a hospital director who likes ballroom dancing.
It's a tough question. I really don't know that.
You like some trashy TV reality show or
I'd never
junk
admit
food?
To that.
Yeah, well, that's what we're looking for. You can say it. Dancing with the Stars. You want to get back to that one?
Yes, if I could, that'd be great.
Okay, well, I don't think the next question is going to be any easier because you already touched on it. Your own personal mentor.
My own personal mentor. That's why I started this business. I really didn't feel as if I had a personal mentor. I guess the closest would be my boss, one of my bosses at HMSA. She would have been my closest mentor who really allowed me to see things in a different perspective and encouraged me to push the envelope. So for the time that I was with her, and I'm still close to her today, but not in that capacity, she certainly was a role model to me and mentored me.
Did she help you with this launching of the business?
No, she didn't know anything.
You just did that on your own, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go with the answer, though, that you didn't have one. That's why you started the business.
Yeah, I think that's a fair answer. That's true.
Which is really interesting. Okay, a major challenge, and this could be in your personal life, in your professional life, with your business, some People often say, a common one is hiring enough people in this economy, lowest unemployment rate. A lot of people say, if they're large organizations, it's communicating their mission to everybody.
Could be either personal or business?
Yeah, sure.
That's kind of a combination, I think. My biggest challenge...
A lot of people say balancing home and work.
Yeah, that is my biggest challenge. I started this business for another reason, and it was when I reassessed the quality of what I wanted for my life. I wanted something important that mattered a lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, I didn't realize the time commitment of running your own business.
Yeah.
And it's huge. And
what is your time commitment? In a day or a week?
I don't even know. I work at all hours of the night, so it's hard to say because I also have a child that I didn't realize the commitment and and the importance.
He doesn't just take the car keys and go and do his own shopping. I'm off to get diapers, Mom.
Lots of things were happening. I was like, too many new things all at one time, and I love everything that's going on, and I really, really love the business, and want to spend so much more time.
But is your major challenge of finding the balance thing, or just finding enough hours in the day, or?
It's finding enough hours in the day.
Yeah.
And giving 100% to both. I'm having a hard time doing that, and I want to do both. I want to do both, and it's hard.
Yep. Hobbies: sleeping, eating.
Hobby.
Watching Dancing with the Stars.
I'd never admit to that. living on Kauai, really, it's a simple life. So I love just going out, and my runs is a hobby, I guess, going running.
Yeah.
It's a hobby for me.
Therapeutic too, I'll bet.
I do a little bit of fishing.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit.
What kind of fishing?
Boat and shore, line fishing.
Really?
I'm just learning. Yeah, I'm new.
Okay.
To it.
Books recently read.
Well, because of the business, it's all mentoring books, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Sadly enough. And probably the last free reading book I read was Da Vinci Code. I hate to admit to that.
Oh, I'll find out. You were saying that the idea came from your work with geriatric patients, and then
Pacific Century Fellows, without a doubt.
Hearing that mentioned, what if any are the models for a system like yours, a business like yours, on the mainland? Or you said it's as far as you can tell.
As far as my research has gone, there really is no other company out there like this, exactly in the way that I've structured it and offer the services. But what I did was basically, I went with my gut, and I thought what would sell and what would be beneficial and what would be user-friendly and
mm-hmm.
all of that. The other models out there are, there's a mentoring company that basically helps do the matching. You apply to become a protege, they find a mentor for you, and then you work long distance
mm-hmm.
and you meet maybe once a quarter. There are some other mentoring companies out
like
there.
Like a mentoring headhunter type account?
Yeah, exactly.
And then the SBA, the U.S. Small Business Administration down in Chinatown, has their SCORE program.
Right.
But of course, that's a different.
That's for free,
yeah.
Actually, and I did use them when I was developing my business. A little less formality, very informal, not long-term programs,
mm-hmm.
but similar in nature. They actually also have a website. I don't know if you had a chance to go on.
Yeah, I've done some stories on them. It's nice what they do.
It's a nice service. In fact, we have.
But that's mostly for young entrepreneurs,
right.
Don't really know how to write a business plan, don't know how to get loans, right?
Right, exactly.
Engage is more professional development within...
Career development, leadership development.
Right.
I'm sorry, within...
Right, in a structure, an organization that already exists. Am I right or am I...
That's right, right. We do target basically employees, but we also offer services, of course, to budding entrepreneurs.
Right.
People who are just starting out businesses, looking to write business plans, strategic planning, really across the board. It depends on what our mentors are experts in,
right,
and what they want to share.
So when you were, tell me again, what was your role with the Pacific?
Pacific Century Fellows.
Right.
Oh, we basically apply and we become a fellow, basically. And it's a leadership development program. They accepted in our year 31 fellows. And it's a 9-month program, and we get to meet, they create the opportunity to meet leaders throughout the state.
Right. And what were some of the common themes you heard from the fellows about what worked with mentoring, what didn't work?
Mentoring was not a topic, per se.
So these were an informal discussion?
When we actually sat, it's like we did have an opportunity, for example, to sit with Walter Dodds.
Ah.
We went to the bank and sat with him, and he basically shared his story, where he came from, what he's doing now, where he's planning to go. And that's where the whole topic of mentoring came up. A lot of these leaders referred to a mentor that helped to get them to where they were today. When I had other opportunities to talk to my fellows, who are really my peers, other young business professionals, many of them also did not have mentors.
Oh, really?
Yeah, surprisingly,
interesting.
I guess.
Well, I know the mayor, who I've talked to a number of times. One of the last times I interviewed him was when Doc Byers died. And Doc was one of Mayor Hanneman's big mentors.
Right.
So he was big on that. Did he talk about that at all? Or that really wasn't much of a theme from your experience?
Not in my recollection. I don't want to say that in case any other
fellows
are listening to this, but in my recollection, it wasn't a theme.
Yeah. So when you thought about starting this company, did you see it as there's a large need that's being unfulfilled in Hawaii?
I didn't know if there was a large need. I knew that I needed a mentor. And I had talked to a few of my other fellows who had thought that you know, they could have actually used a mentor as well, but was there a large need? I didn't necessarily know. I knew that mentoring in general and having a mentor was of value.
Yeah.
And I was hoping if there wasn't a large need that people would see the need.
Yeah, I wonder if, have you done, you said you did some market research, but
right.
Did you talk to young professionals? And
right.
What were some of the themes that emerged from that?
I think we presented the business concept and basically said that mentoring can be an alternative to other professional development offerings, options, like seminars and workshops and conferences. And all of them were very agreed that mentoring would be of more value because it was one-on-one,
right.
Because it was hands-on, it was tangible, it was timely.
Personalized to their
exactly.
needs.
Yeah. And so they said, yes, please, I'd like a mentor.
Interesting. That surprises me because I would think in Hawaii, people would know somebody who knows somebody who's in that profession, and why don't you just call him up and
here's my challenge, I guess, and this is probably why I didn't have a mentor. I think, you know, growing up in an Asian family, I have always felt uncomfortable asking other people for help. And it could be Asian, it could be female, I'm not sure what it is, maybe it's just my family, but we really were taught to do things on our own and not ask for help, and there's only so many resources out there, right? I continue to get education, but education through schooling is just not enough. You don't get the hands-on, you don't learn the things that are not taught in the books, and it takes a long time to learn some of these skills.
And so some of these things are very general, like talk about leadership and things like that, but what about less tangible things that are very equal to professional development, like navigating through the politics of a large
Absolutely.
Organization? And those are certainly things that they don't necessarily
important.
Give you in the employee handbook.
Right. That's true. That's absolutely true. We're hoping that these leaders, although they're not working in the same company, can give our protege some insight as to how to handle certain situations. Because they're there for an extended period of time, they literally can live with you through some of these issues.
Right, right.
That's the value of mentoring.
And what I was getting at was, are some of those we had the Asian American Journalists Association annual convention was in Honolulu a few weeks ago. One of the things they have is this executive leadership program, which I was actually part of the inaugural program back a couple of centuries ago. And the one of the major themes was for Asians, touching on the comment you made earlier, it's harder for Asians to kind of engage and get in there and sort of toot their own horn and talk about, hey, there's an opening, you know, I think I'm qualified to do that job. And the response is often, oh, gee, we just thought you were kind of a good cubicle worker.
Right. So quiet.
Are those kinds of issues that might be brought out in somebody's personal mentoring?
Absolutely.
That's what I'm talking about, kind of those intangible things.
Absolutely. That's what a mentor is for. It's those kinds of exact situations.
Right. And in Hawaii, are we likely to see, do you think, is more that one of the more common things, or just how do I advance in this?
I think so, and I think what we're also going to see is, once you become a protege, you're going to look to your mentor to help open some new doors, meet new people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have somebody to help make that introduction, it's so much more easier than you going up and saying, hi, my name is this, you know, I really respect who you are, would you help me out, or can you tell me a little bit about... You have an introduction because of that personal relationship that mentor had with that individual.
Now, in our economy, is it easier for our economy that's doing well, and one of the major issues is not only recruitment but retention,
mm-hmm.
you know, keeping good people from jumping around in Hawaii because there's opportunities. Are you hoping, are you betting on that that's going to be a skill that'll be in, your services will be more demand because companies are going to want to keep people, they're going to want to groom them. And
formal mentoring programs actually can show an impact on retention, recruitment, succession planning, on skills development. So many areas for an organization that a formal mentoring program can actually impact. Retention is top, actually.
Right.
Because mentoring, if you offer a mentoring program to an employee, from the employee's perspective, number one, it shows that you care about their personal and professional development. That's what, for us, mentoring is. It focuses on both personal and professional. Shows that the company cares about that employee. They start to feel a little more connected to their company because they start to get more engaged and more involved. They start to enjoy their job more. Job satisfaction mm-hmm. is higher.
They feel the organization is investing in them.
Absolutely.
You mentioned succession planning, which is less of an issue for larger companies, but certainly for small businesses, it's been a big theme the last decade or so, is companies close, small companies close, because, you know, brother and sister go off to college and don't want to run for whatever, whether it's a Cosby or a Cleveland Dragon or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you think small businesses, family ones, would want to invest? Well, I know they could benefit, but how likely are they to say, you know, we want to keep this thing going in another generation, and maybe we should send Junior Boy to it.
I don't know how long, I don't know how that group of individuals is going to respond. Actually, we just had an inquiry from family businesses, so we're trying to look for individuals who have experience in family businesses and the whole succession planning.
Right.
Yeah, we think that there's probably some need and demand. We know that there's certainly courses at UH that are being offered and get a good response.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, for family businesses. But we also do see succession planning actually for large organizations. And in many cases, even large organizations have not thought ahead for who is going to be the next leaders in line. And have we started grooming these individuals? Are we ready for that? If something were to happen to some of our leaders.
Well, that was one of the things that Walter Dodds got a lot of credit for. Sort of picking Don Warner.
Right. That's true. And really mentoring and bringing him along, fostering him.
Okay. Any other issues we should talk about? What's the biggest fish you caught?
In regards to the business, well, I don't know. I'm the biggest fish.
Okay.
We have some excellent mentors, though, actually. Some people who have started, senior VPs from Bradstreet, started Fidelity Corp. We have some incredible executives on our team right now.
Great. Well, thanks, Christine. Good luck with the business.
Thank you. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate the time.